While I was preparing these short sessions, where our aim was to look back at our previous rehearsals and home in on some of the priorities that we were working on and try to find ways to practice and keep that momentum going for when we meet again in the autumn, I thought it would be a good idea if I had a listen to some of the line tapes that are available, just to see how they work, what I felt about them in many ways. And much to my very pleasant surprise, I found myself quite excited about the potential that they actually have, that I think goes way beyond their use as a tool to help us learn notes. No? Of course they're useful for that, and they sort of, but useful for so much more. And even in their spectacularly mechanical and musical nature can actually be put to advantage, so long as we use them to help us develop things, technical ideas, fluency in various aspects of the music. Of the pieces that we can then put to the service of the music when we come together. So I wrote down some thoughts about both recordings and the line tapes. And I'm going to start with recordings. And recordings are recordings. They're, of course, it's an amazing resource. It's an amazing things to have. It's never like being at a great live performance, and I think those of us who thoroughly enjoy great recordings, it's because we can put ourselves in the place of listening to it live, with all then the added advantages of hi-fi and the recording and the wonderful sounds and like that. Of course, you'll listen to recordings of the pieces, and I have one request that says, please don't listen repeatedly to your favorite recording. Yeah. Not when you're preparing the piece to do. Yeah. That's for another time, your favorite recording, occasionally, but not repeatedly. Leading me to think, yeah, so what do I suggest? And here's what I suggest: a minimum of two other recordings. In other words, two recordings that are not your favorite recording. And one of them you choose because your first reaction when you put it on is, ooh, that sounds very slow. And the other one you choose, you know what's coming, because your first reaction when you put it on is, gosh, that's fast. Okay? And you listen to those recordings. You see, what happens if I listen to the one that I just thought, oh, that's too fast? You listen to it two or three times and you find yourself, if it's a good recording and it's done by good musicians, there will be reasons behind that choice of tempo that you will get more and more into, that change your perspective on a slower recording, and vice versa. And the reason for doing, there are two main reasons for doing both. One is that we increasingly loosen the connection between phrasing and absolute tempo. And a very practical other reason is so that you don't come to rehearsals with differing but very absolute feelings about the tempo that the piece should go, because that's uncomfortable for you as well as for everybody else. But I just always find it a fascinating thing, that a recording that I could almost not accept because the speed was either excuse expression too slow or too fast. Who am I to say whether it's too slow? But you know what I mean. I'd listen, oh, that's just too fast. And when I persevere, it becomes, you know, it becomes one of my favorite recordings sometimes. And another extraordinary thing that can happen so easily, I still don't understand it, is that if I'm doing a piece and I almost think that I'm copying my favorite recording, because, you know, if it's Simon Rattle, and when I listen to it, I think surely it's not possible to do better than that. So what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me trying to do that? So I try to do that, and the next time I hear that recording, it's nowhere close anymore to the music that I have now in my head. Yeah, that's just the way things work. And this a fast one and a slow one. Yeah, if you really like to listen to recordings a lot when you're preparing. Now, the line tapes. Various ways. In the background, right? In the car, in the kitchen, in the garden. Just letting it soak in occasionally, singing along, whistling along. Yeah, oh, there's that bit. Perfectly valid. So long as it goes with the essential also, which I'm calling active uses. And it's the active uses that I find myself becoming quite excited by the possibilities when I tried out a few things. Everything that we've done in our previous three mini sessions, legato, singing with the tape slowed down, on lu, nice and free and loose. Any piece, all of it, everywhere. If you can sing all through the whole program, maybe not all in one go, but you sing at home on nice and loose, no stress. None of those first notes stressed me. None of those intervals stressed me. It was just nice and easy to sing, so nice to sing legato. Slowed down count singing. Was I able to be stress-free, count sing all the way through? Slowed down adding the text. Slowed down to a speed where you know you've time to get every syllable, every word stress-free. And then either bit by bit, or okay, now let's have a go at this at normal speed. Is there much less stress than the last time I tried it at normal speed? Am I stress-free? All of the above, legato, count singing, with text, and up to speed. And I'm advising an 80-20 rule. 80% slow practice, 20% up to speed. And then almost like an addendum, but it isn't an addendum. Basically, normally up to speed, words and rhythms. Can you chant the words, say, in the German texts? Can you do the faster bits? Just words in the right places. Not worrying about having to sing all the other thing. Not worrying about, can you do all the words with the right rhythms? And as I've said to the whole choir when we're together, bringing just that, words and rhythms, can often be more useful than having learnt the difficult intervals. Because we're going to work on the difficult chords, we're going to work on the, you know what I mean? But it's if the easier, all, you know, words in the right places, without needing to be stressed by them. All ways that resource of the line tapes can be part of not just preparing the note, but way, way more than that, giving you a chance to actually practice how you're singing. Legato with words, count singing at different speeds, and so on. So I'm going to show you the, just to make sure you're all familiar with both the page and how to change speeds and so on. So here is the, this is the page. Can you all see that page with the video tracks one after the other? There you can see there's your Schicksalslied, soprano only, alto only, tenor only, bass only. Then you've got here Toward the Unknown Region, you've got both soprano one and soprano two, and on down there's your the Requiem, the first movement, and also the also Wie Lieblich. Why don't we, I've been playing everybody a bit of Wie Lieblich sind, but let's have a change. Let's have a little, there, here is, I'm going to click on the Schicksalslied clip. After you clicked on that, let's go down. Okay. So there you can see it in full score, yeah? Actually, just could you give me a show of hands, can you hear it?
It's very quiet, Brian.
Yes, on mine it's quite quiet as well. Okay, so just so that gives me the chance to, so up here, do you see that there's the, I can make it a little bit louder. Okay. So, are you hearing that better now, even the background music, yes? Okay, brutally mechanical, even more so than the Brahms. Now, I tell you what, let's have a bit of fun. We're going to count sing, okay? Let's count sing from where you come in. I want, let's go back a little bit just to. Try that. Yeah, okay, that's perfect. Okay, you can see there where the cursor is. That's the altos, and then we're going to count sing from where you come in. Okay, here we go. You ready? And do and T and four and one and two 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 and two and T and four one and two and T and four and 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 one and. Okay, that is, I don't know about you, but that's anything but stress-free, yeah? So, let's go back. We were there. You did, actually, I my cursor and the sound, I wouldn't watch the cursor. And by the way, I would use your own score because the cursor is kind of, was actually very quite putting me off. But so now, up here, do you see the wheel? There. Okay, and here comes, here we are, we're on speed normal. Extraordinarily fast. But so I'm going to click on that, and here you see we can, you can see that I've been slowing things down to 0.85. 0.5 tends to be very slow. Let's just have a listen to 0.5. You click on 0.5. Mm-hmm.
So if what you wanted to do was really practice legato and intonation and breath control, maybe 0.5. I'd been finding, as you can see, because I'd been finding, oh, it's moved. I had recent 0.85. I'd been finding 0.85 quite useful. Let's try doing some count singing at 0.85. There we are. So 0.85, is it going to do that? Yes, it should do that. Now, let's go back. No, let's just carry on. Are we ready? And one and two and T and four 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 and one, two and T and four and one and two and T and four, one and two and T and four and one and two and T and four and one and two and one and two and T and four and one and two and. Okay, so again, doable, but not just, I don't know about you, would you have said that was stress-free? No, not yet. So, and this is the, like, so I would, if this was me, if I was in this, my practice session, I'd be trying, let's try 0.75 and see how we get on. Let's go back, because that's quite a good passage. Sorry. And four and four and one and two and T and four and one T and four and one, two and T and four and one and two. One and two and T and four and one and two and T and four and one and two and T and four, one and two and T and four and one and two and T and four and one, two and T and four and one and 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 two and four and one and two and T and four and one and two and T and four and one and two and T and four. Yeah. So again, I'm finding, yeah, I can do that. But if I was really preparing, I'd slow that down it again and start working up. But you get the idea? And only you know where the stress-free moment arrives. So you slow it down until it's stress-free. And when you're starting to think, this is now, you know, well within, up a notch, and then up another notch, and then up another notch, until it gets stressed again. And when it gets stressed again, go back two notches, yeah, and so on. By the way, that's the traditional way of practicing, especially keyboard instruments, but any instrument with a metronome. I do it all the time. Metronome on, slow enough that there's no stress. Up one, up another, up another, up another. Suddenly I'm stressed. Back about six and start again. Yeah? It's the same for us all. Okay, so there we go. So you can see with those tapes, all of them, all the pieces in their different ways, and all of the techniques, the legato, the count singing, the adding the text, and working up to somewhere near the speed. By the way, as you know, we won't be doing the Schicksal's Lied opening section anywhere close to what that is calling normal speed. Do you remember when I played it first on normal speed? It was very, very fast. Yeah. So don't be worried about that. Words and rhythms, chanting the words just in rhythm. And again, the line tape really useful for that, just to keep you going, you know. Very useful.
Any questions on how to use those or the ideas that we've discussed? Anything that anybody would like to clarify before we wrap up? No? We're good. Okay, great. So I'm hoping that will help us to have some more resources aimed at, as I say, not simply note learning or preparation or words, but having a more interesting way to actually really be working on developing our singing of the pieces before we meet together the next time. And I think if we all go through at least some of that process, we'll really hit the ground running in September.